This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, high noon in the District of Columbia. Going to the Rude Guest Hotline right now to talk to our friend Joe B. Joe Beninati. Of course, we'll be calling the action tonight along with Craig Lachlan. Caps, Habs, Game 2. Joe B., how are you, man?
JP, thanks for the Van Halen pick-me-up. I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
Joe, I will tell you, I was watching the game on the Monumental app on the other night from the pool. It was kind of nice. But they started out so good. What started well for Washington the other night?
Intensity, urgency level, just that much higher, JP and B. Mitch, because I had the sense the last month or so, 3 weeks perhaps, where the team, human nature took over, and I just thought, they had the division wrapped up so soon, yeah. The conference wrapped up so quickly, they took their foot off the pedal. They eased up. They treated the last three weeks as if it was a prelim, and they got through it. Obviously, they achieved an amazing individual accomplishment for Alex, and now they've refocused themselves on the big prize, which is the team goal ahead. And I thought the first shift the other night in Game 1 was awesome. And easily the Caps could have had a 2-3-goal lead in that hockey game. The fact that they didn't is troublesome. They need to bear down and bury, but you have to give Montreal's goalie, Sam Montembeau, some credit for that as well. But at this point in the year, now everything is past the great chase, and the chase that's in front of them is chasing 16 wins, and they've got one, and they know that their mission is far, far, far from accomplished.
Joe, your knowledge is far beyond mine, and you see way more than I see. What has to happen in this game for them to get a second victory, and what can't happen?
They need to withstand an early push tonight, B. Mitch. I think Montreal grew in confidence as the game went along. There's no way for the younger players on the Canadian side to fully replicate a Stanley Cup playoff atmosphere like Capital One Arena. A team as big and strong and as fast as Washington, you can practice all you want and think you're ready, but until you see it, it takes some time. And I thought Washington had Montreal back on its heels the first 25, 30 minutes of that game. I thought they played extremely well. Now, once that power play occurred in the third period and all of a sudden a 2-0 lead became sliced in half, momentum took over, and momentum favored the younger team in the last 10 minutes of that game. I thought the first 5 minutes or so, and Spencer Carberry confirmed that with us this morning, the first 5 minutes of the third period wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. It was the power play that happened. It was the momentum switch that comes on the Caulfield goal. And then that top line for Montreal, which arguably has been one of the best in the entire league in the last 6 weeks, they started to feel their oats. They started to attack more in waves. I just think from your question's perspective, Washington must be ready for the first 10 minutes tonight. I think you're going to see a far better Montreal team in that regard. But from a defensive standpoint for the Caps, I think what also needs to happen is what happened for the first 40 minutes of the game. The defenders, B. Mitch, directed Montreal's most dangerous players to what hockey players refer to as bad ice. Mm-hmm. You can't hurt me from out there. I've got Logan Thompson playing well. If I direct you to bad ice, odds are our defenders, our goalies are going to handle those situations. Do not let the premier offensive players from Montreal get to, quote, good ice. If that continues to happen, I like Washington's chances, especially, guys, if this remains a five-on-five type of game, not some game where you're going to see all of a sudden one team have five or six power plays.
Talking with our friend Joe Beninati here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. You can give Joe B a follow at Joe B PXP. And, of course, watch on Monumental tonight as the Caps host the Canadiens, game two of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Obviously, injuries are a part of this now. What'd you think of Logan Thompson in his return to action in game one?
I thought he was really sharp, JP, and I mentioned this to him. I had a conversation with him, a brief one, around his locker room stall this morning, and he said, yeah, I felt good. I felt like myself. And to which I responded to him and said, I saw the reflexive, powerful, explosive Logan Thompson of the early season, and especially at the midway mark of the season, when I don't think there was a better goalie in the league than Logan Thompson. I saw that guy in game one way much more than I did down the stretch. So perhaps those six, seven games off due to the last injury that he had gave him a chance to physically and mentally reset. And I think he gained confidence from game one, and I expect him to be even better tonight.
And where are we at with Alexi Protas getting back on the ice?
I watched him work out in the gym pretty heavily. I didn't watch the full workout, but I did see him there and pushing very, very hard. I've seen him on the ice now a couple of times, not skating full blast yet, but it looked unrestricted. And I guess from what I've been told, I wouldn't expect him tonight, although Coach Carberry wouldn't comment any further. I wouldn't really expect him maybe when the series shifts to Montreal, but at the tail end of the series, if it's a long one, if there's a 5-6-7, you may start to see him. And I think that's a great sign. How do I say this? If the Caps win tonight and have control of the series, I don't think there's any reason to rush him. Mm-hmm. I'm always conservative, JP and B. Mitch, when it comes to injuries, and especially with something regarding a hockey player's foot. I don't want Alexei Protas at 6'6 and 235 pounds playing at only 70%.
Right.
If it's a do or die and you have to have him, okay, maybe. But if there's no pressing urgency, yes. Do I want him? Absolutely. I think he's the most improved player in the NHL by far. I think the Caps are way better with him. But I don't want to rush. That's just me. That's my opinion. That's always the way I behave with respect to, or want to see people behave with respect to injuries. But the doctors, the athletic trainers for the Caps, and the player himself, they know well. They'll all give Spencer the go-ahead when the right time is ahead.
Do you feel they need him going forward? Not this series, but going forward.
Carolina.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely, B. Mitch. He's too good, and they're too good with him.
Yeah.
He makes such a difference in so many different ways. You know, it's a rarity to see a player score better than 30 goals without a power play goal all season long. He doesn't get power play cookies. He had all of his goals, aside from three shorthanded goals, at even strength. He makes you that much better 5-on-5, and he will be a very good penalty killer. He will be a responsible two-way defensive player. He will be an impactful forechecker. There's so many different ways that this guy helps your squad. And I feel horribly for him that the injury happened. It's a kind of a fluky kind of thing. And at the time of the season when it does happen, there are so many great guys on this team, and Alexei is one of those. You root for this kind of a guy. He's easy to get your arms around. Absolutely, B. Mitch. As they progress, hopefully they take care of business against Montreal. As they move forward round from round to round, as we hope it's a long playoff push, you very much need Alexei Protas.
I think he's one of the cooler stories. Obviously, the big story this year for the Caps is Ovi. And Ovi is stories 1 through 10, right? Probably, right? But I think the development of Protas, has been... Dude, he had 6 goals last year, and this year he had 30. Now, like, the assist numbers jump too, not as significantly, but he emerged as, I mean, possibly like an all-star type player, right?
Without doubt, and it's impressive, and it's a credit to the workload of the player, the work ethic, his willingness in the offseason. He's told me that he and his brother Ilya, who is a Caps draft pick, who is destroying the Ontario Hockey League right now, or I'm not sure where they are in the playoffs, but had a fantastic regular season. And, oh, by the way, I think is 6'5" you're going to see the Protas brothers for a long time in Washington, knock on wood. Alexei will tell you that he and Ilya were shooting day after day, working on drills, finishing shooting ability. So for the player to put in that effort and work with the coaching staff, work with the skills coaching staff, Kenny McCudden, work with all of their options to help make them better. This is a guy who works his tail off, sun up to sun down. And to see the improvement, obviously he has what you can't teach at 6'6 plus. He's NBA small forward-like. Wow. Amazing. But you see him, I remember him in development camp a few years ago, and you're thinking, wow, maybe if, and all of a sudden the skating got better, and all of a sudden the hockey IQ is improving, and all of a sudden now the finishing ability is there. Now you've got a 30-goal power forward at 6'6". That's a player, man. That's that, man. And credit to him. Credit to him. He never gave up. He pushed and pushed, a la Tom Wilson, a lot like Tom Wilson, who you've seen improve over a decade. Protas is doing that same kind of arc.
Absolutely. Mm. Speaking of arc, did you see Alexiev yet today? I mean, seeing the teeth rattling around on the ice was just unbelievable. Ugh. And these hockey guys are such tough guy maniacs that he's going to, I assume, play tonight. Like, you've called a million games, Joe. Had you ever seen teeth flying out to that level?
Yeah, I've seen it, sadly. It happens. It's part of the game. And I wince all the time for these guys because I don't know how it doesn't happen every game. You know, they're so, no pun intended, they're very heady hockey players. They're able to play with a protective eye shield. In college and junior, it's a full face shield. Tonight, you're going to see Alexiev in a full face shield. He worked this morning in a full, plexiglass shield. And I did see him at a stall. I made believe I punched him in the mouth. He wanted to kill me.
Joe, you better leave those damn hockey players alone,
Yeah, leave them alone. Let's just one side of his smile is extremely empty.
It's gone.
And it's just amazing. And Dr. Lenz, all the team doctors and the caregivers for the Caps do such a great job. But from what I gather, Doc dug in right away, and they spent a good long night after game one trying to get him in a good place. And I don't think he's going to miss any time tonight. So knock on wood, he'll be ready, and that cage won't affect his play.
If he smiles, you can see where he swallows.
You saw the picture, right?
If he smiles, you can see his esophagus.
Oh, B-Mitch, it's bad. It's so bad. Oh, gosh. But all of a sudden now, you go through the year where, guys, there was a stretch where they played the same six defensemen 60 straight games. Alexiev only played 8 games in the regular season.
Dang.
They were so healthy back there for so long, and now you get little things that pop up, things that pop up with Chychrun, things that pop up. Well, unfortunately, they're taking Ferravari out for the remainder of the playoffs. But all of a sudden, you've been so healthy for so long, you kind of cross your fingers and go, all right, maybe this injury bug is passed, and let's see how far they can go.
Yeah.
The Ferravari stuff sucks. We know that. He's out for the remainder. What is the latest with Chychrun?
Chychrun's good. All good, and I thought came through game one well. I think that's a lot of the season, late in the season, a lot of the guys were dealing with minor injuries and illnesses. So many guys were sick late in the season, and that included yours truly.
Yeah, yourself included, right.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, dude?
I'm all's well, thank you. Knock on wood.
Good.
But I think we all got it right post after 8.95 celebration. Mm. I think it was all there where everybody was just feeling under the weather. I think they're past that now. Jacob's fine. Jacob took a deflected puck in the face in practice on Saturday. It's some of that's going around, but when he's right, he's such a dynamic offensive force. I love watching what he does. It's almost Panther-like, and I don't mean Florida Panther. The way he prowls around on the ice and just looks for opportunities to create odd man rushes. You, as a defender for Montreal, you're thinking, okay, it's 2-on-2. I'm good. We can defend B. Mitch and Finley here, and then all of a sudden Chychrun's in on you, and it creates problems. And that's the kind of player you need around these times.
Yeah, I can't wait. What do you think that atmosphere will be like tonight?
Awesome again.
Yeah.
They were great. They were great in game one. The Caps know it. They feel it. All the players, year after year, guys, they consistently remind us when the Caps are playing at home, the guys on the ice are like, we feel like we're less tired. There's energy there. There's always good, positive vibes coming. So you want the Caps fans to keep bringing that as many times as they can.
I bet. And Joe, how about this? All the Ovechkin goals you've covered, everything you've, you know, with Ovi throughout his career, and then that was his first ever overtime winner, right?
Yeah,
in the 44
playoffs? Times before he had the chance to do it, right? 44 overtime games he had played before he pots one, and it just tells you how rare it is to have one of those go for you. And there are some guys who gravitate towards it and have had numerous instances. It's not like Ovi didn't have his chances in those first 44 games.
Yeah.
And his playoff goal numbers are terrific and such. But for that to be his first one to end the game, it was pretty cool. And obviously you saw him celebrate like a madman. And he's been just on fire down the stretch here. I can't tell you the difference between last season when he expended so much energy to help the Caps get into the playoffs. I don't think he had much, and he may have been dealing with other issues when Washington was beaten by New York in the first round last year. This year, flying home the way he has to the all-time record and continuing his pace, he just looks like he's moving well, and that's the one where you really got to cross your fingers and hope that if a 39-year-old player with his kind of gumption stays healthy, man, we can go places.
Anybody looking for motivation, just look at him.
Spectacular stuff.
Anybody on that team, I'm telling you, like, if you start thinking, oh, I'm a little tired, look at that dude. He's been there over 20 years plus, and he's still doing it that high. You can't. You don't have time.
That's called leading by example, B-Mitch. That's
totally.
What it is.
Totally.
For sure. Joe, nobody's looking ahead. The game is tonight, focused on that, then two in Montreal, whatever happens. They're playing some pretty damn good hockey down in Raleigh. Has that crossed your eye?
Well, I absolutely see it, and I know it, and you want there to be a Caps matchup in the second round with whomever, if it's Carolina or Jersey, but I think most people would have predicted Carolina. And by no means is Washington out of the first round. They got to play well tonight, especially,
sure,
guys, because Montreal only gets better at Bell Center. And the atmosphere that's phenomenal at D.C. goes to another level, if you can believe it, when it goes almost 22,000 strong in Montreal.
Damn, I bet.
So they're
going
to be tough to beat. If Washington does, as a favorite, get through this round and you set up a matchup with Carolina, yeah, don't get too far ahead of yourself. But the Canes are a terrific team, and that would be a wonderful matchup. But one step at a time, you've got a very good Montreal team in front of you, and you need to be at your best to beat them. So focus on that first. But, yeah, the fan in me, the media person in me sitting there going, that round two could be great. Yeah, I understand that part.
Joe,
but let's see what you do with Montreal.
Absolutely. Last thing for me. I can't help but notice the Caps have two French-Canadian dudes. Dubois and Bouvillier. Hopefully I'm saying that close to correct. What do you think it means for those guys to get to go play playoff hockey back in Montreal?
It's special. And Anthony Beauvillier has had some terrific playoff experiences in odd circumstances. One of them was in a bubble during the COVID experience. But when you look at his playoff numbers, he's the kind of player who provides at this time. And then with regard to Pierre-Luc Dubois, both of them obviously growing up in hockey-mad Quebec, it's especially great for them to return home and play in the hardest tournament to win in sports. And both of those guys know and accept at the beginning of a series like this that there's going to be a lot of media impacting them because they have because they're bilingual. And it was amazing to watch the media crush here in D.C. And then when the series shifts, when we head up there tomorrow and you see the game for game three on Friday, the amount of media, print media, TV, radio, you name it, it's consuming.
Right, crazy.
And those guys obviously are sought out because they can speak French.
I bet. I didn't even think about it. You know what I think might help them is how crazy the media situation has been around the Ovi series, around the Ovi goals. When I was waiting in Long Island, when we were waiting to get in the locker room after Ovi scored 895, there was a Montreal crew next to me that I was kind of talking to. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of talking S, actually. He's like, have you seen how good the Canadiens are playing? I was like, I'm not worried about the Canadiens, buddy. But they went after, now that you bring that up, they went after those guys in the locker room. I'm sure that'll be another level of intensity. Yeah.
I used this expression earlier. I mean, it's like you're going to Yankee Stadium. It's like you're going to Lambeau Field. Mm-hmm. You pick it. You pick the analogy. Mm-hmm. It's religion there. And it's the number one topic from sunrise to sunset.
There you go. Joe B., thank you for the time, man. Have a great call tonight.
Guys, my pleasure. Thanks very much. See you on Monumental Sports.
Yes, sir. It's our friend Joe Beninati. Caps Canadiens Game 2 tonight. You can listen to it right here on 106.7 The Fan. John Walton on the call. That means you can listen to Nats Orioles on Team 980. You can watch the Caps game on Monumental Sports Network. Here, Joe B. and Locker. Get a dub tonight. Let's talk about how confident we feel in the Washington Capitals when we return.